Do you know, over its many decades, Hollywood has been very creative and imaginative in getting people into the door of the theater, coming up with titles such as this movie in 1943, the name of which was Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman. Sounds alluring, doesn't it? Very creative. And then, jumping ahead a couple decades, in 1966, do you know there was a movie that was titled Billy the Kid versus Dracula? This is true. This is true. Well, I have an idea for a great one. How about this one? The Atheist Meets the Cloistered Nun. Okay, it goes like this, okay? So the atheist goes into this monastery and sits down and has a conversation with this cloistered nun behind her grill. And he says, "Well, you know, sister," he says, "if there is no God, as I maintain, you will have wasted your life in this cloister." And she said, "Well, you know, my friend, that is true. If there is no God, I will have wasted my life behind in this cloister. But if there is a God, you will have wasted eternity." And that's what our scriptures address today. The theme of the blessings of eternity versus a passing temporal life. And the scriptures ask us the question today, do we live in the perspective of eternity, or do we live as if there was no God? The answer to that question shows whether we who profess to follow Christ look any different at all from those around us who have no faith. In whom or in what do we put our trust? Is our God the God of Jesus Christ? Or is our God the God of someone or something else? And so the prophet Jeremiah speaks to this today in our first reading. He says, "Accursed be anyone who puts his trust in human beings, who relies on human strength, and whose heart turns from the Lord." Well, that sounds like a very apt description to me of the assumptions, perspective, and worldview of this shrunken age in which we live, in which people are saying, "We're it, we're gods." And Jeremiah the prophet continues. He says, "Blessed is anyone who trusts in the Lord, with the Lord for his reliance. He is like a tree by the waterside. When the heat comes, it has nothing to fear." And then we have these very strange and disturbing and unsettling words of Jesus in our gospel today. Disturbing to us because, you know, the people that Jesus calls blessed, poor, hungry, weeping, people that other people hate and denounce as evil on account of Jesus, that doesn't sound like a description of us. These words are unsettling, too, because those whom Jesus seems to mourn over, that is, those who are rich, those who are filled now, those who laugh, and those whom everybody speaks well of, sound very much like a society that is overstated and bloated and drunk with self-indulgence, kind of like the society that we're enmeshed in. But fundamentally, what we can note is that those who know beatitude are those who live as if there is a God. And those who are cursed are those who are not worshiping the God of Jesus Christ. And Jesus seems to mourn over them, perhaps like he wept over Jerusalem, because they are a people who have become content with mediocrity, who have drugged and numbed themselves with the bland barbarisms of the bourgeoisie. They are the ones who have made their material possessions their ultimate consolation, who think that easy access to an abundance of good food will somehow fill the cavity within them. Those who have desensitized themselves to the world of compassion by blocking the poor, the sick, and the needy out of their consciousness. Those who will even sacrifice truth and principle when the chips are down, rather than risk being unpopular and maybe even forfeiting money, property, and sensual pleasures. No wonder Jesus cries alas over people like that, because they haven't the slightest clue as to where true beatitude is. But how blessed are those who have detached themselves from the false idols of the so-called good life, and who know where to find the pearl of great price. For example, as an example, what simple joy we see in people who live lives of voluntary poverty, like those in the Catholic Worker Movement or Madonna House Apostolate, for example. Now, church, we human beings share a capacity for physical hunger with lower forms of life, but only we have the capacity for a higher hunger, that is, a hunger for God, because only God can fill that gnawing cavity that is within us. And how blessed are those who act out of that hunger and who realize that overeating isn't going to fill it. And blessed are those who weep, who have opened their hearts to the pain of others, who are compassionate and concerned. For they will find Jesus in the little and the poor. And how blessed are those who have so fallen in love with Christ that worldly hate, ostracism, abuse, unjust accusation could never separate them from that love. And so Christ's word today, church, challenges us to ask ourselves honestly, which of these groups describe us? And if we find ourselves by asking ourselves that question, if we find ourselves in the company of the cursed, when we come today to the Eucharist with faith, it can change us and convert us and deliver us from a shrunken life. So pray with me now. O Lord Jesus, you are the pearl of great price. You alone are that. We are moved and struck by your words today. And Lord, if we have placed our trust in human beings or rely on human strength, and if we have turned away from you, save us, Lord, rescue us, bring us back. As we encounter you today in the Eucharist, you who have spoken these words to us, save us from the false idols of the so-called good life if we have become too attached to them. Give us a hunger for you. Open our hearts to the poor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.